Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
As each day passes without a deal to free the hostages being held in Gaza, the protests on the streets of Tel Aviv grow louder. And on Tuesday night, things got even more tense when demonstrators held up traffic, blocking the road with metal cages. Israeli police made several arrests, including two relatives of someone still being held in Gaza. They were released in less than 3 hours, but it just goes to show how charged things are when it comes to how Israelis feel about how their government is handling the war. But are the men responsible for the most important decisions on the same page?
What is happening right now in Israeli politics is that it may not actually be the invasion of Rafah that poses the most imminent threat to the government, but an issue that's plagued Israeli politics basically since its founding.
Today, why a push to recruit ultra-Orthodox Jews into military service could shake up the government. From CNN, this is Tug of War. I'm David Ryan. Mick Craver is a CNN senior field producer. He's in London right now. Mick, why did Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu cancel this delegation that was about to leave for D.C. earlier this week?
Yeah, well, David, I mean, on its face of it, what he said publicly was that the U.S. in the U.N. Security Council failed to veto a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. And instead, the U.S. abstained, which is the first time that it has allowed such a resolution to pass in the Security Council. There have been several similar that have come up over the course of this war. But right. Of course, underlying all of this is kind of Israeli domestic politics. And of course, the U.S. is Israel's biggest military supporter, its biggest diplomatic supporter. And the U.S. has been very critical. President Biden has been very critical of Israel's plan to go into the southern Gazan city of Rafah, where more than 1.5 million people are sheltering. And it's tension over that military plan that really underlies a lot of this, because the U.S. has said very publicly Israel should not invade Rafah. And the reason this delegation was going to Washington, D.C. in the first place was for the Biden administration to present what they saw as alternate plans.
The prime minister's office has agreed to reschedule the meeting dedicated to Rafah. So
Prime Minister Netanyahu canceled this delegation to Washington, D.C., but then just a couple days later, Wednesday this week, he announced that the plan is back on, that delegation will probably be going back to D.C. sometime next week. And, you know, I think this is partly just a sign of how important that relationship is.
Is the president thinking about reconsidering sending arms to Israel, given, you know, the unfolding situation and the unfolding humanitarian situation in Gaza?
There's nothing new there. That is not under consideration. As you know, we have,
Even though this delegation of senior aides, their trip got canceled, his defense minister, Yoav Gallant, was in D.C. at the same time. So, you know, the importance of this relationship for Israel cannot be denied.
But then I guess why go through all the theatrics of canceling it and then putting it back on? Like what was the point of all that?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think that's a very good question, but I do think that, you know, a lot of this comes down to domestic politics and Prime Minister Netanyahu trying to show his constituents that he can stand up to President Biden when he sees it to be politically expedient. And we shouldn't forget the war in Gaza in Israel is enormously popular across the political spectrum. And so from an international perspective, and certainly from a U.S. perspective, the idea of an immediate ceasefire is very popular. But in Israel, even from some of Prime Minister Netanyahu's political opponents, there is broad support for continuing the war until the stated goals of returning all the hostages and defeating Hamas, whatever that may mean, is completed.
Well, then, you've spent a lot of time in Israel. So can you explain those domestic politics and kind of what Netanyahu is dealing with in terms of the issues that may force him to kind of do some of these things like we saw with this Rafah meeting?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things that's going on right now with the Israeli government is Prime Minister Netanyahu was elected in this term back at the end of 2022 with the most extreme right-wing government in Israel's history. But in the wake of Hamas's October 7th attack, he formed an emergency government that included not all of his political rivals, but some of them. And chief among them was Benny Gantz, the leader of the National Unity Party, who he brought into government. And he's one of three voting members of what they called a war cabinet. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Benny Gantz, and the defense minister, Yoav Gallant. Interestingly, what is happening right now in Israeli politics is that it may not actually be the invasion of Rafah that poses the most imminent threat to the government, but an issue that's plagued Israeli politics basically since its founding, and that's whether the most stringently religious Jews in Israel, the ultra-Orthodox, or Haredim, as they're called in Hebrew, whether they should serve in the military. And since its founding days, they have been exempted from that mandatory military service that all Israeli Jews have to
serve. So they don't have to serve like everybody else.
Correct. And if you listen to ultra-Orthodox rabbis, they have what they would put forward as a very good reason for that, which is that very religious ultra-Orthodox Jews believe that studying the Torah is just as important for the defense of Israel as the military, and that it's important that a significant portion of young men devote their lives fully to just studying religious texts in yeshivas or religious schools. And that prevents them, they say, from serving in the military. And for decades and decades, that worked until the late 90s, when the Supreme Court in Israel said that that violated equal protection clauses and could no longer stand. And since then, successive governments and parliaments have tried to find a fix, and they haven't been able to. And even that papering over method kind of worked until October 7th. And now suddenly the conversation has been reignited. Why are all of these young men, over 60,000 are the estimates of ultra-Orthodox men who would be eligible for the draft, why are they not serving like the rest of us?
More with Mick in just a bit.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number Smart Beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number Smart Beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature-balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to Tug of War and my conversation with CNN's Mick Creever.
One of the key things to understand here is that Prime Minister Netanyahu, in his pre-October government, has a majority of 64 out of 120 seats in the Knesset. And he relies on two ultra-Orthodox parties for that majority. And obviously, these parties are very much against the idea that ultra-Orthodox men would be subject to the draft. And so now the Supreme Court, after many delays, has given the government until the end of this month, until the end of March, to enshrine in legislation how the government wants to treat ultra-Orthodox Israelis when it comes to the draft. And so the government has, in the past couple of days, put out some feelers of how it would like to enshrine in law an exemption for ultra-Orthodox Israelis. But of course, every little bit here and there is extremely controversial. If you suggest that more ultra-Orthodox Israelis could be drafted, that would make Netanyahu lose the support of his coalition partners. If you suggest that you will enshrine in law that exemption and make it permanent, then that alienates the members of Benjamin Netanyahu's emergency war cabinet.
So this is very kind of central to just how much leverage Netanyahu can have over the government and kind of what goes on at this war.
That's exactly right. And so the two members of Benjamin Netanyahu's war cabinet, Yoav Gallant, the defense minister, and Benny Gantz, the leader of the National Unity Party, have both expressed strong skepticism about the government's plans for this Orthodox conscription bill. And were they to pull out of the war cabinet, it wouldn't necessarily mean the end of the government yet, but it could spell a domino effect of resignations, and it would be very difficult for Netanyahu to carry on the war, at least in its current form.
Interesting. Yeah, I was going to say, what would actually happen like on the battlefield in Gaza if there was a shakeup of the war cabinet like you describe?
The truth is, I don't think anyone really knows. I mean, again, it's important to emphasize that the way that Netanyahu's been conducting the war is very popular. Benny Gantz, the leader of the National Unity Party, has also said that going into Rafah is imperative, as he put it. So, you know, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this is not necessarily about political divisions about the war in Gaza. But, you know, there is a view among non-ultra-Orthodox Israelis that Orthodox Israelis should serve just like so many other Israelis who have stepped forward since October. And so if this issue came to a head and agreement could not be found, then Netanyahu might still be able to force this bill through. But the government, as it has existed since October and as it has unified Israelis, would collapse. And so it would be the beginning of a new phase of Israeli politics during this war, where outright opposition to Prime Minister Netanyahu, which has been slowly building, would be much more forceful.
Interesting. And like we saw before October 7th, there are those huge protests in the street against Netanyahu. Certainly he doesn't want to see anything like that come back on that scale again. Mick, thank you.
Thank you so much, David.
On Thursday, after Mick and I spoke, the Israeli Supreme Court issued an interim ruling. It ordered the government to stop funding religious schools whose students defy the country's mandatory military service. The ruling is likely to anger key ultra-Orthodox factions of Netanyahu's coalition.
Tug of War is a production of CNN Audio. This episode was produced by Paolo Ortiz and me, David Rind. Our senior producer is Haley Thomas, Dan DeZula is our technical director, and Steve Lichtai is the executive producer of CNN Audio. We get support from Alex Manasseri, Robert Mathers, John Dionora, Lenny Steinhardt, James Andres, Nicole Pesaru, and Lisa Namorow. Special thanks to Caroline Patterson and Katie Hinman. We'll be back next week on Wednesday. Talk to you then.
When you work next level. When you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.